You look like a chick. You did a good job.
The U.S. strikes back, killing a member of the Islamic State.
Whole world going to shit! Planet!
Welcome to Planet Rage, the intersection of insanity and madness. Here are your hosts, Larry Blydner and Darren O'Neill.
Hey, Larry, believe it or not, we're finally doing episode 231.
Well, isn't that cool? And what's the significance of that number?
Well, it's, you know, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, it's been, you mean 3 days late?
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, just because, you know, weather.
Yeah.
Crazy weather. Well,
crazy weather. I mean, do the folks at home know about this? I mean, what you've been through? You've been, you know what? I'll tell you something right now. You are entitled to some climate justice. Or maybe that was climate justice.
Maybe. Maybe it's the gods that were not happy. It was just a very weird thing, because I had no idea. I mean, I knew there was probably some rain coming in because it was a little less bright than usual.
Yeah.
And I was going back and forth messaging with the Podfather, Adam Curry. And I was like, great, everything's cool. I'm going to go have lunch now. And then we're doing Planet Rage. And when the wife walked through the front door, the phones were lighting up with, oh, tornado warning. So
yeah.
Like, okay, the bad weather's coming in. And by like 20 minutes to 1 central time, she's like, I think she should go back to work. She only lives, you know, a mile from work, so it's a very quick drive.
Yeah.
And when she was leaving, it was like it was midnight out. All of the automatic lights that were on outside, and that's when the heavens just started throwing down rain and wind. If anybody wants to see it, you can go to Max Velocity. I know a lot of people like Max Velocity.
Was Elvira Gulch riding by with Toto in her basket past your house at that moment?
Yeah. I think so, because it was one of those things that very quickly the power was flickering and then went out.
Yeah.
But the storm outside, I mean, it was the most impressive as far as a raging storm that I've ever heard in this house. Mm. And I'm glad the outside of the house is brick, because the winds in the town a couple over was 119, and a lot of the other places were showing 100-mile-an-hour winds.
That's whistling, baby.
Yeah, and there was one of the storm chasers that was on Max Velocity stream. And these are guys that do this for a living. They chase storms. They drive through this stuff. And this guy was like, holy shit. I'm like, okay, this is bad. When the people that do this every day are surprised.
They're holy shitting.
Yeah. By the veracity of the storm that was coming through.
Mm.
So then I'm kind of thinking of the last rounds of storms that came through this area, which at that point my parents lost power. We didn't.
Right.
And they were out for 4 to 5 days.
Yeah.
And when it came like 2-3 hours after the power went out, it came back on. I was over in the troll room. Eric PP was in there and he was like, oh, straight line winds or no. And everything went out again.
I know. Well, you faked me out because you texted me and said, oh, it's back on. Yes. I thought, oh, hallelujah.
And then it went back out for, I think it was like 28, 29 hours. Like, I mean, when you count it all together, it went out at like 1 o'clock Monday and was back about 4 o'clock on Wednesday or Tuesday.
Force majeure, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at least I just went over to my parents, sat around in the air conditioning, and I was thinking, like, if in watching the ComEd, which back in the good old days when power would go out, you would get an alert that would be like, hey, power is going to be out for, 4 to 6 hours. Okay. This time it was just, yeah, we don't know. We're assessing. It wasn't, it's never even shown that the work was being done. So I'm like, okay, am I going to have to like try dragging a rig to a different location to do the big, big, big show on Thursday? I mean, this show is important, but.
I was curious. I mean, how big is, because as you know, Darren, I've done this show from hotel rooms in Nashville after breaking a sink, Mississippi, most recently in Puerto Rico on my birthday. And all it is, it's my little, my Lenovo ThinkPad Carbon. And my Samsung, travel mic. And that's it.
Well, see, it's easier because you don't have the clips and the sound effects. So I need like 3 monitors to be able to.
Oh, okay.
And with crappy vision too. Now, if I had good vision, I could probably do it on a laptop like the Podfather with the, little side screen or two that you can bring out with you. But and for faking, one of these shows, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But the big leagues are calling come tomorrow, which is, for those that have not heard, Larry and I are filling in for the No Agenda Boys due to the sad passing of John C. Dvorak.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam needs a little bit of time off.
Well-deserved after 18 years without a vacation.
I know. I mean, he's had a few vacations, but you're working during the vacation, so it's...
That doesn't count.
No.
If you're working during a vacation, it's not a vacation.
Nothing really says vacation like your wife sitting there looking at you like, are you ever going to finish this little show you're doing?
Yeah.
I've gotten that look a few times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know it well.
It's like, what are you doing? A show?
Yeah. You're
talking to those idiot friends of yours, aren't you?
See, they don't know, that magical phrase, the show must go on.
Right.
It's kind of true.
And that is in the spirit of what we're going to be doing. And I'm sure some people will hate it and some people will love it. And
they'll all love us. Don't be so fucking negative.
It's like, hey, Please. We think we suck too. I'd rather be listening to Adam and John, but that's not a possibility.
Well, we don't know that. I mean,
wait, you think AI, you think you can do it now?
There's AI, there's spirit channelers. Let's not forget about those guys and ladies.
John Edward and
that's
the ones Dvorak. It's a scam. Cause of course it's a scam.
It is a scam. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. Just popped into my head about that shit. When I was a little kid, I was always, always, always into talk radio. And there was a guy, he was a major figure in New York radio and maybe elsewhere, called Long John Nebel, right? And he did the shift from like midnight to 5 or something. And he was great. He had all these weirdo stuff, and one night he had on a spirit channeler, and it was Halloween night, the night of Houdini's death. And this guy promised that he was going to channel Houdini and have a conversation with John and his wife, Candy Jones, and the rest of the New York metro area. So Nebel was pretty slick. And he sits down, he talks to the guy. And he's on with him, I'm going to say like half hour, maybe 35 minutes. And then finally, should we get started? And then, some fake trumpet music comes on, weird like theremin shit. And then this guy starts to mumble and cackle. And Nebel says, is that you, Harry? Yes, it is. And that,
doing the voice then, even, huh?
Oh yeah. And he says, you're doing well. Yes, I am. And he says, your name, your real name is not, it's not Houdini, right? It was you. And meanwhile, Nebel is like an expert on Harry Houdini, like a world-class expert. And he says, and he goes, no, it's not. And what was your real name? Harry Weiss. And how is that spelled? Yeah. And the guy says, W-I-S-E. It was one of the greatest moments in radio of all time. It was absolutely hysterical. And so the spirit channeling segment ended rather quickly after that. Long John was pretty disgusted with him, and away he went, dispatched him.
The guy, okay, he probably studied everything about the guy's life, but couldn't get the little details. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrific radio.
It's almost as funny. I mean, one of the best lines I've seen in a long time, and the only the people in the troll room, noagenda.stream, got to see it, which is the Reverend Dr. Pfeiffer of the two-hour folk hour fame.
Mm-hmm.
He said he tried to channel John C. Dvorak via his Ouija board.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
And just got back a message that he had been blocked.
I like that. That's good. That's cute.
Now that would be great art.
That would be great art.
The Ouija board with blocked. You know, blocked. You've been blocked on it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a, it is a weird world. I'm like, said to Larry, I'm like, you don't think John would, you don't think he would like send this kind of huge storm to like decimate the whole Chicago area just to keep me from doing the show, do you?
Oh, if he could, he would. Sure. And then one of the thunderclaps would actually sound like, go fuck yourself.
Exactly. I mean, we did entitle the last episode, John C. Dvorak is Wrong, which.
Yeah. Let's kick that around a little bit, Darren. Is there some precognition Twilight Zone element to that having happened?
It's impossible to say.
It's impossible to say. And, you know, I got curious and listened to that episode. And at one point I did say, what if John's been gone quite a while? And that's Adam using some gimmicked AI version of him.
Oh, and he is a great with the.
I'm sure he is.
Vibe coding stuff.
Yeah.
It's possible. And here's the other thing. When I was doing the title of the show, of course, I wanted it to mimic the one from two shows before, which got us a whole bunch of downloads, which was Jesse Waters is Wrong. And I originally typed in John C. Dvorak was wrong.
Whoa.
And I had to double check. I'm like, wait, is that right? It's a very, you never know what's coming out there from the, from the spirit world.
And so did your theory hold up about, you know, a tripling of downloads thanks to that title, or when, how'd that play out?
I haven't even looked. I should, but I have not even, everything else going on. It's like, I didn't,
well, it didn't change the donations. I think
the, that is not true. The donations for today's show are out of this world. So I mean, I can, maybe it could be. Could be some help from above.
Let's say thank you, John.
It was quite possible, and we'll get to that. I mean, we're going to try to do a few bits today, and of course tomorrow at the regular time, which is 1 p.m. Central Time, we will be on the Mighty No Agenda stream as No Agenda, and then Sunday again. So, you know, excuse us if we don't do 2 to 3 hours.
No.
On today's show. And some of these clips might be great for that, except the ones that may have more F-bombs. I'm trying to put myself in that random thoughts mentality.
Oh, yeah. I loaded them in this intentionally. Yeah, because it is more of a family audience over there. I don't think the No Agenda people will ever call themselves the cult of scumbags. So our clips will, you know, cater to that, right?
No, but every now and then you got
go fuck yourself.
I love it. He did that. It's such a world class clip because there's a certain vituperative nastiness in the way he said that. It was just great. It was just wonderful. Wonderful rendition of that phrase.
Then they played that whole clip on the John's Best Clip Show, and that came from all of the people saying, like, oh, stay safe.
Yes.
And they were going back like, oh, with Jesus or under his eye or something weird like that, which was like, what? And then, of course, that's Dvorak. He pulls you in like, oh, well, let's try one more time. And then, OK, John, stay safe. And then you get the go screw yourself line. And and everybody laughed because you were not expecting it. And that's where it's funny, you know, and that's where it has more. You know, like the first time you've ever heard your mom use the F word, you're like, whoa, she's serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's if used sparingly, I get it.
Yeah.
And we've said, you know, we are No Agenda with anger issues. And I'm sure we will go over this on Thursday, just at the beginning to let people know who we are. I mean, y'all know who we are. You're part of the cult of scumbags.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of bizarre that we've been training to do this exact show for 5 years.
Is it almost 5 years? When will it be five?
It is 5 years. Let me pull up the date here, but it is next month.
Holy in shit. August.
So it is, wow. It is very, there are no, you know, weird things in the,
so the wait a minute, this is like Mao Zedong's 5-year plan come to fruition.
Exactly.
And we hate commies,
you know, and it's just like, you can't explain some things. They happen. They're out of your control. Episode one was August 30th of 2021.
Wow.
5 years later, we've done the show. I mean, they say how many hours. Well, we haven't quite hit 10,000 hours, but we've done 230, well, not one shows.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we took the No Agenda blueprint. If any show is, I mean, I know there have been a few other clip shows, but we really kind of went, well, here, let's try doing a show like this, just making it angrier, which also let us do the show. It let us have more comedic outlet to it, but it it really did train us in the format.
No guardrails, as they say.
Exactly. Absolutely. No guardrails. Yeah. No Agenda has a lot of jingles just because we've gone 230 episodes and nobody sent us any really jingles, except I think No Beret did a couple.
Yeah.
And those weren't that good, No Beret. So, I mean, there's that.
And maybe as a teaser, I don't know that we've ever divulged to our fabulous audience how the hell Darren and Larry became a team. I don't think if we have, correct me, but I don't think we have. So I'm going to leave that as a teaser to bring some more of you folks under the tent tomorrow.
Yeah.
You like that, Darren?
It is a good origin story.
It really is.
It's another one of these things where you're like, nobody could have predicted. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And how Larry and I first started even communicating. And then, we do have to say a big thank you to Sir Bemrose for... For so many things.
Many things. Just for being him, primarily.
You know, I mean, I told him that he should do Sir Bemrose's clip of the day, and we would run that as an honor. Because I mean,
it's a hot idea. I like that.
Yeah. It's hard, you know. Those are big shoes to fill. I mean, it's bad enough No Agenda, but you know, tip of the day, and I mean, Bemrose, he has thoughts. You know, he thinks he knows better. than everybody else. He has certain thoughts, or he thinks maybe he knows what you should do.
Quite an endorsement. He thinks. Holy shit. Thank you.
If Bemrose had a book, that would be my like little blurb on the front. He has thoughts. That's exactly it. It is exactly it. So we highly recommend everybody tune in to No Agenda for the next couple of weeks. We're going to try to keep the ship going in the right direction and see what happens on the other side. I mean, it's win-win for us.
Yeah.
Because hopefully people, if you know, they like what they hear, they'll be like, hey, we want more Darren and Larry.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And it is a beyond a huge honor to be chosen.
It's a magnificent honor for which we are both very grateful. Yes.
And I maybe we'll tell the story again tomorrow, but really the first thing I thought of was being 16, going to brand new license, going to drive my grandmother home, who only lived a mile from my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been driving my sister's Camaro, you know, which was a piece of crap 4-cylinder Camaro. And it was kind of hard.
I never knew they actually made 4-cylinder Camaros
back in like 1985, 86 because of the gas.
Okay. That's why I'd long lost interest in Camaros by that time. But okay. Now it makes sense.
And my sister bought it and she really didn't care if it went fast. She just wanted the look of the car.
Sure.
But it was hard to, you know, for my grandmother to get in. So I'm like, hey, I'll take my parents' new Cadillac Seville or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then less than a block from the house. And I contend the old woman that was coming down the other street where we were turning was like in the middle of the street, you know, making a wide turn.
Yeah.
But we had contact And then my grandmother
did, never. Did she survive?
Yes. My grandmother never wanted to ever drive with me ever again. So, no big deal. No big deal. But it's like, okay. And the Cadillac was only, like a month or two old. And, That was great.
Now, was that the Cadillac that had the sort of vertically shaped rear end? The Seville, right? It was a Seville.
Yeah, it was one of those when Caddy, I mean, it had that back end, but it was also shorter than.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had front wheel drive. So I think that was fairly new at the time as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it had a little bit of get up and go to it. I mean, it was nice.
Most Caddies did, sure. Yeah.
But they still don't like running into other large. And the other car was just, you know, like a big Lincoln or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that was the first thing I thought of. Is like, hey kids, take the car out for a spin, and Larry and I are like, all right, hope you got the insurance.
I already assured Adam not to worry that we would be transforming all of his producers into plaintiffs. So fear not.
Well, we do have Rob the constitutional lawyer, so
good. Yeah, we got that deep bench of producers, so not to worry.
He can help us out. That's right. This is exactly. Yeah. When you need just a little bit of help. So, yeah, I'm sure we will have the full origin story and more tomorrow.
Much more.
Yeah. And a whole bevy of new clip. I mean, this system that Adam built is quite impressive. But even with that said, his ability to be able to hit these clips when you need to find them.
That always amazes me. Well, for both you guys, it's always amazing when you come up with these things too, like, boom, instantly. Like, how do they do that?
Well, I mean, there are some that are built into Mix, which has, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. There's 16 carts that always sit in here. So there's the, you know, the JCD go F yourself. Right. That's always sitting there.
They're the hot ones. Okay.
You know, as the ones that you know you're going to be hitting at some point.
Yeah.
And so those are there. That's easy enough. But when you have to go find something that's not there, the system that I have been using is go, you find it, you grab it, you bring it into the interface by drag and drop. So it's a whole, you know, much slower thing.
Yeah.
You need to have that thing automated. But yes. I tell you, we're going to have a lot to talk about, especially with the Fauci brigade this morning. I was already grabbing clips and,
I've got a battery of stuff on him, but I'm waiting. I'm holding mine back for tomorrow.
As so. Well, you should, because that's going to be the big show.
No question. Yeah.
With that said, where would you like to start today?
Oh, let me see. I thought maybe kick it off with something pure comedic stuff. And that might be, how about, this was really good. Alex Jones on Chuck Schumer. Have you heard this?
No.
Oh, I never realized. I mean, he's a very, I always thought Alex Jones was pretty smart, big balls, and amusing, but he can be really goddamn funny. And he kind of displays that talent right here in this clip.
You know, I think I've always thought David Icke was wrong that they're reptiles, but reptiles like their meat raw. And if you looked at Schumer's wife, by the way, Beto did that where he was serving raw hamburgers. What, where do you come from? Are they growing these people in tanks or something? Imagine you went over some person at work. Hey, come over for burgers. Come over. Like, here's a raw burger. You'd be like, you would think they're trying to get you sick or something. Like, hey, man, what is this? Are you retarded? No, man, they ain't human. Take a look. I actually think Chuck Schumer is a shape-shifting demon. I think he probably 5,000 years old, probably lives underground in a flying saucer that got buried in New York. I'm serious. I mean, I mean, look at that alien right there. That's probably like it's the ambassador from Mars or something. And they're just like, screw these humans. These people have no idea how we're effing them over.
You know, Schumer does kind of remind me, and it's probably a dated reference for a lot, but from the Smurfs cartoon back in the day, Gargamel, the old evil guy.
I'll take your word on that. I was never a Smurfs guy, but I trust you.
That's kind of what... he reminds me of. Schumer is like the old evil. The guy hit a cat or something. There's got to be some Smurfette fans in the troll room.
I believe you.
We love radiation. Once we nuke everything, we'll be able to grow I can't spawn and grow eggs on my back until the radiation level isotope is above the level it is now. Hydrogen bombs are what I love. Oh, yeah, they drink radiation coolant. Guaranteed. I'm not even joking. In fact, I bet Schumer's the female and that's the male. That creature right there is definitely a Draco lizard and mounts him. And then he has the eggs and the eggs come out of the mouth.
Wow.
That Alex.
The little baby scorpions and they sit on his back and he. And you know what they feed on, too. They're not just radioactive cooling tank material. That's probably true, actually. Oh, God, help me.
Yes, God help you. Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't think that was scripted. I think he was just, you know, vamping, and it was pretty damn amusing.
Well, he does go off down the that's way. Hey, rather turn to the frogs, gay! You know, he likes right. to go into that, and it is entertaining.
It is.
Now, if anybody's tuning into Alex Jones thinking you're getting straight, media, not deconstruction, but if you think you're getting a straight media report and, you know, journalism, yeah, you have to understand what that is colored through, which is how so much, and it's, I get it. We're living in a world where it's hard to keep somebody's attention. So to get somebody to listen to news, that's why when everybody start getting their news from Jon Stewart, it's like, okay, now we're fucking doomed. Because when you have somebody that's main job isn't really to give you the news, it's to keep you entertained. You're going to understand where the punchlines are coming from. You're going to understand that they're really more interested in making you laugh, making you mad, than being 100% accurate.
You know, Stewart was the dooming bell, and then Colbert was, you're already dead.
Yes.
When he started. I mean, God.
Yeah. It is the media landscape at this point is quite interesting. It used to just be, you know, the Art Bell kind of late night over night radio that the really wacky stuff came out. Now it's some people go to very wacky sources for their main news, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is. Crazy now, stuff.
This I thought was hilarious and not really worthy of, going into too much, but Jasmine Crockett. Now, the World Cup seems like it was a mile away, the ending of
it. It sure does.
You know, it's interesting how the time warp when bigger news comes up, but this was Jasmine Crockett somehow like questioning somebody on why do you think people were rooting for whichever team? And this was the final between Spain and Argentina. And this is what this just bastion of knowledge Jasmine Crockett had to say.
Okay.
The World Cup that captured the imaginations of the entire world when they saw all of these people of color that was playing for all these teams. And ultimately, if you recall, the last two teams, it was Argentina and Spain. And it seemed like the vast majority of the world was rooting for Argentina, or actually against Argentina, right? And why was that? Just give me an explanation if you could guess, if you'll just let them finish the answer.
Like, I'm sorry, I almost spit out my coffee there just because she was so dumb. She didn't even know what point she was trying to make.
No.
Argentina, or actually against Argentina, right? And why was that? Just give me an explanation if you could guess, if you'll just let them finish the answer.
Spain had the best team. Maybe that's why they were rooting for them.
There's also a racist history that exists.
Mr. Byer, you're recognized.
Thank you,
Jeff.
So there's a racist history because she's thinking, I'm guessing, that Argentina, the guy that ran that was, you know, Trump's buddy, Orban, right? That's Argentina. I'm thinking that correctly, I think.
No. Milei is Argentina.
I'm sorry.
Orban is Hungary.
You're right. Exactly. When you just were in Hungary, so you would know.
Well, 2 years ago.
Well, that was close. For me, that's close enough.
That's close. But he's out now. They got a commie in there, those fools.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
And it's just interesting that I guess she's completely unaware of anything that has gone on with the Spanish colonialism and it's hard to not, it's not really hard to believe that this is the type of person that gets elected to a position of power in the United States. It's just sad that somebody with so little knowledge is going to be put in that position and then openly just spew this kind of stuff with, like, you want to bring racism into everything. We get it.
Yeah. Well, she's just paving the way for Talarico, Darren.
Right.
Opening those gates, really.
You know, this is, it's everything's got to be racist. It's racist. If the other side does, if it's anything to do with Trump, it's got to be racist, which we're seeing that in Chicago, which, you know what? We didn't even give the stats. My bad. Party foul. 7 shot and kill. This would be for the week up to Monday of last, you know, when we normally do a show, and 38 shot and wounded, bringing the shot clock in Chicago, one person shot every 4 hours and 38 minutes, and one person murdered every 19 minutes and 47 seconds, thanks to Mayor Brandon Johnson and Governor J.B. Pritzker.
There you are.
Some of the worst politicians in the world, but it's not because they are inept, brothers and sisters. No, it is not. It is because of their worldview and how they see things. Further proof right here from Mayor Johnson.
We cannot incarcerate our way out of violence. We've already tried that, and we've ended up with the largest prison population in the world without solving the problems of crime and violence. The addiction on jails and incarceration in this country, we have moved past that. It is racist, it is immoral, it is unholy, and it is not the way to drive violence down.
So it's racist and immoral to put rapists behind bars. It's racist and immoral to put murderers behind bars. It's racist and immoral. To separate polite society who are following the rule of law and those that do not. This is not a question of somebody who doesn't know what they are doing. They know exactly what they're doing. Their worldview is, we cannot be racist. We would rather have your loved ones raped, murdered, beaten, assaulted, whatever it is, by these people, because we can't lock them up, because that is unholy.
Yeah, that was interesting. He stuck that word in there. It's unholy. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's like, this is insanity. And again, this is what you got going on in New York City now with Ma'am Dandy.
Well, all over the country. New York, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., St. Louis, Philly, a lot of them.
And here's, I still will never understand why so many folks exit these places and then vote the same way.
Yeah.
It's like, we left this place because it's turning into a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
It is turning into a den of iniquity.
Sure.
But we want to keep that going where we moved to. So they're going to move again, I guess. So I mean,
there's a simple answer to that. They're fucking morons.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They're really stupid. Some of them can be, you know, let's remember, there's a lot of pretty wealthy guys that are actually quite stupid, really, in a general sense. And so they live in a place like Chicago or LA or whatever. And then it turns to shit because of leftist policies, and they move somewhere else. And, you know, it's like all of them, you know, well, it just wasn't done right. Socialism is never, when it's done right, it's going to be utopia. That's the way they think. So they come from LA or New York, whatever, and they go to Miami or you know, Texas, whatever, and they want the same exact shit there, because this time we'll get it right. Really.
And I guess what Mayor Brandon Johnson is unaware of is El Salvador, right? That's the one that went, hey, we're going to put all the bad people in jail. And all of a sudden was like, wow.
One of the safest countries in the world, almost overnight.
The country improved. You can.
But it's unholy. It's unholy. It's unholy, Darren.
Oh, my goodness. But yes, I mean, again, you can.
And the best question is for Brandy. I like calling him Brandy. I really do. Cheap Brandy, like made with molasses. The question for Brandy is, now, Tell us, Brandy, how in Costa Rica, all those murderous gang guys that were rounded up by Bukele and put in his incredibly efficient prison, they're all the same race.
No, that's racist. Racist.
They're all from the same place. Racist. So how is his prison racist when they're all the same race?
I know.
Explain that to me.
They can't because they don't have a leg to stand on.
And the same race as the president who rounded them up and did that.
Right. I mean, this is the insanity to, I mean, one, people are too stupid to understand the difference between something being a racial problem and something being an economic problem.
Well, it's an economic problem, but it's also a cultural problem.
Yes.
Really, that's really what's at the core of it. How much the American culture has changed due to, well, what is it? What was it that Breitbart used to say? Politics is downstream from culture. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And so we've had generations of people raised by lefty teachers and taught, you know, that climate change is all important. And now climate justice, as I said, racism is everywhere. And imprisoning bad people is unholy. And so there you are. Those policies come to effect and, you know, there you go. So it's the culture is wags the tail of policy.
Well, yeah, and they never understand, or they never explain, like, well, who should be incarcerated? You know, it's like, well, there's got to be a line somewhere, right? But no, this is a further down the chain or up the chain, I guess, from Mayor Brandon Johnson. This is Megan Romer, who is the national co-chair of the Democrat Socialists of America.
Oh, boy.
So if we talk about abolishing prisons, then does that make society better? I mean, is there anybody that should be incarcerated? I mean, rapists, child predators, murderers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the long term plan, when we think about most people who are in prison, they are mostly in prison for crimes of poverty.
Wait.
Uh-huh.
So I want to see the law books where poverty is listed as a prosecutable crime. Where are those? Show me those, please, lady.
And we're not talking Les Miserables. I mean, we're not talking somebody stealing food or a loaf of bread. That would be a crime of poverty. Where does murder, rape, you know, all go on down the line? Where does that go from a crime of poverty? I don't understand. This, again, is where you're trying to gaslight everybody with, like, no, these are the victims, the people that are raping and murdering and you know, stealing your car, they're carjacking you, you know, at the gunpoint they're pulling you out of your car and stealing it. It's all just because they're the victims. They don't have enough money, and if we would only fix that, then there would be no crime.
Yes.
Which, of course, there is absolutely zero proof that theory works, and it seems like one, if you have any logic, that you could poo-poo fairly quickly.
Crimes of poverty.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the really,
the murders and rapists of the when world. So when we get rid of this need for crimes of poverty to exist, when we get rid of that destabilizing force that creates so many people who are living in desperate situations and doing desperate things, that brings those numbers down to very small numbers. And then we can collectively decide what we do with those people. I suspect
collectively.
What does that mean? Like, we go collective. Everybody gathers on the street and we're like, well, this sounds like the old West where the answer was usually hang them.
Yeah. Raise your hand and hang them. Yeah.
Are we going to be able to do that? No, that's racist, of course.
No,
we can't hang them. It's like, why? That was a very efficient way to deal with the horse thief back in the old West. And when it came down to it, when people knew that there were actually punishments for the crime, sure, there were still criminals, but there were less.
Far fewer. Far, 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 far fewer. Yes.
Because you understood that you don't have to be like, oh, no cops saw me. Well, yeah, anybody in town saw you, they're going to gather a bunch of people and they're going to kill you.
That brings those numbers down to very small numbers. And then we can collectively decide what we do with those people. I suspect it won't look like the prison system as we know it today.
Okay, but you do think some people need to be locked away from society.
Some people are not able to be functional members of society. That's okay. True. But what does that look like to keep the rest of us safe? You know, we're talking about safety. We're not talking about
there we go. Punishment. The S word.
It's out for the children.
It's always safety. It's children's safety, safety and children. It's all it is. For these morons, that's all it is. Ever.
It is a broken record.
No, really, you want to get the vote of an imbecile? Say either of those two words, it's guaranteed. Safety or children, you got them.
What if really? You say it's for the children's safety? Donate.
Now they get two votes.
Donate. Think of the children's safety.
Yes.
Punishment, we're talking about making sure that we're safe. Everybody's safe. Everybody maintains their dignity, and everybody maintains their humanity.
Stop. Dignity. Okay. Remember that. All criminals deserve dignity. Did you hear that?
Yes.
She missed the other one, the R word. Respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
I mean, we know that you raped 14 children, but you deserve some dignity. It's like, no, they deserve to be thrown into the wood chipper.
Well, come on. Timmy Wall said he cut that guy loose because it was just he had a bad day. So he had to, you know, molest some kid.
Right.
It's a bad day. Let him go.
We can't all be judged by our worst day. It's like, I'm sorry. No. If your worst day is raping a 9-year-old, I think you can be judged by your worst day. And that guy allegedly was doing it for years. This wasn't like, oh, he only did one thing, one time. Oh,
Darren, he had a couple of bad years. Yes. Stop being a prick.
Who hasn't had a few bad years?
Exactly.
And we'll wrap up the Chicago coverage. This one's a good clip for today because it is a police woman from the Chicago area. I don't believe she's a Chicago police officer. It sounded like she worked in one of the municipalities outside of Chicago, but gets called when these teen takeovers happen. And she's black, so you can't call her racist, although they will. But this was her take on exactly what is happening in the community.
What's even more fucked up about this shit is you got these little girls out here looking like sexy reds and shit, just out here kissing boys in the middle of the street, putting their asses and juking and popping all on little boys' private parts, ducking off into alleys with boys, doing all kind of unruly, nasty, improper shit. Police, we had to go out there and corral these kids up to get them to a centralized parking lot. Canines had to pull their dogs out the car. Police officers out there with rifles. Cars with just sirens on, disturbing the residents. You had elderly folks that were scared to come out their house because it was so many fucking kids out there. And you mean to tell me that y'all didn't know where the fuck y'all kids were? One lady pulled up on us and was looking for her kid because she found out somehow that her child was out there, and she was saying that if she catch her kid, she was going to beat the living shit out of that child. And I wish I could have saw it. I'm not going to lie to you.
I know. So this is the parenting that we've been talking about for years that needs to be done.
Of course. But this is the cultural sea change in America that has knocked it on its ass, really.
This was really, really heartbreaking to me because as these little girls was out there doing they whatever, and we riding around, we seeing grown-ass men in their cars just driving around, just getting free shows, just watching these little girls. Whole time, y'all motherfucking black ass parents supposedly didn't know where the fuck your kids were. Out there being predatorized. Some grown ass man probably just looking for their next little girl to fuck with. But y'all parents don't know where the fuck y'all kids are. And I claim bullshit because a lot of y'all probably knew where the fuck your kids were. You just didn't give a shit. There was a time in history that when dogs and canines were sicked on black people, black children or whatever, it's because we were fighting against racism. We were fighting for our motherfucking rights. We was fighting for the right to be treated equally. But now we got canines coming out on black people and black kids because your fucking kids is outside smoking weed, disturbing the peace, all on other people's fucking property, out there just acting a fucking complete fucking fool. We have moved backwards. I don't want to hear shit about black power and black this and black that until you fucking black parents learn how to police your motherfucking kids. Until y'all do this, until y'all do that, I don't want to hear that shit. Fuck black excellence. It don't exist. Because this further confirmed to me tonight that black people, we are raising pieces of shit out here to be out here in the fucking world. You got these fucking kids that can't even read above a third grade level, but they know how to go out here and pop and twerk and shake ass in the middle of the streets and be out here kissing boys and boys filling all up on little girls out here. And I guarantee you some of them had guns on them. Y'all are not knowing where the fuck your kids at supposedly, and they going into neighborhoods, because I guarantee you majority of those kids weren't even from that municipality. They just showed up out of no fucking where and don't even understand that they don't even know the culture of that municipality. You don't even know the type of people that live in that municipality. You don't even know how many fucking child sex offenders are in that municipality. I do.
Yeah. This is the problem with the culture.
Who was that woman, Darren?
She is a policewoman in one of the Chicago suburbs.
Wow. And there was it video along with that audio? So she's pretty ballsy to talk that way and self-identify. Wow. Got to give her a round of applause.
I would agree. And yeah, there were a few. She might swear more than you do. But it's a valid point.
Was she in uniform as she made that speech? No.
No.
Okay.
But again, I can't even imagine having to have to answer those calls, which are happening, when the weather's nice around here now, it seems like it's every weekend there's these teen takeovers happening in Chicago and in certain neighborhoods just outside of Chicago, getting called in for these things. And it's like, man, parents, don't you understand? I mean, especially the parents of the girls, it's like, you're just asking for trouble,
Yeah. But remember, Brandon Johnson said it's a teen trend.
Right.
Darren.
They're not takeovers. It's horrible. Yeah. It's great. You should be out there twerking trend. And jiving and, and having a whole lot of fun. And it was thanks to the Podfather. This is the first clip I have ever produced, because this woman went on for about 9 to 10 minutes. And because it was posted on X, I went in and said, "Hey, Grok, here's a clip. What, 2 minutes or so should I pull out to be most impactful for a podcast?" And that's the part it chose.
That's impressive. Now, did you feed in the text or just the MP3 and it did? Well,
gave it the URL to the post on X. So
and
it
then
went,
what happened? And what did it give back to you?
It gave me, you should start at this around this time code. Okay. Go to about here and here's right. Why, because here's what she's discussing. It's like,
that's impressive.
For longer clips, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is where the technology is going. I mean, it may not be able to tell you what clips are the best for your show. Maybe it can at this point if you feed enough of them in.
Yeah.
But it seems to have the ability to figure out which parts are the, I'm sure you could also be like, "Hey, Planet Rage, we like the swearing. We like the anger. We."
Yeah.
This is what we're looking for.
I can see like an AI thing for appetite control, something you put on your table and put that chip back in the bag, don't eat that. Yes. Right. That's gotta be next. Somebody's got to come up with that, and they're going to get really rich.
I mean, you may not remember. I mean, I don't know how big of a thing this was, and it was, in mean spirited. Don't send me hate mail. I love my grandmother. There was a product that was out in the 80s, maybe early 90s, that was light activated, and it was a little pig that you could put in somebody's fridge, and when you open the door of the fridge, the pig was inside and it went oink.
I like that.
It's very low tech, but similar to what you were talking about here. Yeah.
So between the pig and the clapper, you got a fully equipped home.
Right.
Remember the clapper?
Yes. I mean, we can use it on the podcast every now and then, just be able to set off a few things. I mean, I think really what all homes should have is a scale in front of the refrigerator. So you have to stand on the scale to open the door.
Mm.
And maybe if you're on it, it'll be like, no, you've had enough for today. We're reading your weight, Larry. You're getting a little chunky.
I can remember, I don't know if it was a Shark Tank product or somewhere, but I remember watching this and thinking, this is really goddamn stupid. It was like, let's call it bulletproof Tupperware containers, like a square block. And they had, I think, combination locks on them. So the idea behind this idiotic product was you take all the high-calorie junk shit that you normally just grab and feast on and stick it in those and put them in your refrigerator. But to get to them, you got to, spin the dial and do the combination. I don't think it sold at all. It sounded really stupid, but that's how desperate people get.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it was I'll say it was just to get you mad. It may have been a Dave Ramsey thing. where like, you're spending a little too much. Well, you put your credit card and make it into a block of ice. So before you could use it, you'd have to. But now it doesn't matter because everybody just is like, well, no, it's on my phone. My credit card's in my phone.
Yeah.
I just tap my phone. It's
Apple Pay.
Yeah. Nobody will even pay any attention.
Do you do that shit? Do you have Apple Pay?
I have used it, but not much. And it was not Apple. It was the Samsung thing, but it's the same. And it's not horrible with the way that the technology works, being that it doesn't actually transmit your credit card information. It is doing a random anonymized thing. So it's not like people can easily steal your credit card information when it's being done wirelessly with the phones.
Hmm.
So that part I kind of liked. And the fact like, hey, as long as I have my phone, I don't have to have a wallet with five different credit cards in it or whatever. It's like, it's all just there.
Oh, I'd rather have a George Costanza wallet than the phone.
Well, that's,
I'm deep in the Dvorak camp on phones. Sometimes I leave it in the drawer. Like I wish I'd done what he does. Like, I think didn't he leave it in a drawer for like 2 years or something?
Yes. Then he had a lot of messages.
Yeah. But I recall yet a couple of days ago that there was about a 2 year span where I had no television.
Right.
And I think I topped John there because I think he always had a TV. Obviously, he was watching, what was that show he was looking at when he passed away?
NCIS.
NCIS. Exactly.
I watched like the first 14 seasons of that and then kind of got bored with it. Maybe I'll go back and watch some more.
Maybe you will. Yeah.
It was better than a lot of things on TV, but once we cut the cord, it went down to, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but a lot more of my time in front of the television now is YouTube, which is very bizarre, but there's some really good content on there. Spending over 24 hours with my dad because, power out. He had never seen, there's a card collecting show on YouTube that's really good called Chasing Cardboard. That's very professionally shot and great audio. And it's all about people who want to get rid of their baseball card or other sports card collections. And there's just so much good content that is being made outside of big studios or anything like that. And it's like, you'd rather give your time to that than mindless sitcoms that are no longer funny.
Absolutely.
Speaking of no longer funny, where should we go now?
Well, I got a thought. Why don't we do a little bit of where the hell did they go? Let's give a hat tip to Scott Lobato. Warning: he's issued a warning to Mam Danny. I think you'll find this amusing.
I'm going to make a shitload of fucking enemies now. Ha. If this fucking mayor. This fucking mayor, who's best friends with all of these fucking terrorists, Hassan Piker, who said Americans deserve 9/11. This is the mayor and his fucking wife, who hate everything. If this fucking guy is allowed to show up at any heed these fucking words. Any 9/11 memorial service, that includes Ground Zero, Staten Island, where we lost more than any other county in America at 9/11, or any fucking where else, I will be there, not alone, with a shitload of motherfuckers to not only fuck up that ceremony, but to embarrass and humiliate every one of you family members who allow that to happen. I don't give a fuck how you come at me, what you call me. You're not my friend or my family member anymore. I don't give a fuck. If you allow this fucking jihad gypsy terrorist to show up at your family, your husband, that patriotic guy that you lost on 9/11, who's rolling over in his grave thinking that this fucking cocksucker is going to show up, I'm going to be there for him and to humiliate you. Get that through all your motherfucking heads right now.
Oh, that would have been a great no agenda clip.
Right. Yeah. You know, as always, you know, I always like Scott. I admire him. But my question for Scott is why? Why, for God's sake, did you give advance notice of this? Because right. You know, if Brandy Johnson has 150 cops on his security detail, I would bet that Mamdami's got at least double that. So
but you wonder, you know, if any of these cops actually like the mayors.
They probably don't, but they need their paychecks, I think.
Yeah, and you probably get bonuses for being on the mayor's duty.
Oh, yeah. And so the moment any of them lay eyes on Scott and his crew, you know, they're gonna put up a barrier very quickly. You know, he may be screaming epithets and trying to humiliate them, but it'll be from you know, the edge of Harlem instead of a downtown at Ground Zero. You know, so.
I appreciate, though, his sentiment. And we're seeing this more with people. I don't know if anybody in New York is really waking up to the point of where it will change how the people vote there. Because I think more and more of the people that would vote against the guy are already gone.
Oh, definitely.
But this clip will really kind of bookmark that as well. This is Sid Rosenberg, who is a WABC, been on that for
forever.
Yeah, pretty much. Even longer than maybe Adam and John on No Agenda. He's been around for, as you said, forever.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to, while a bit cleaned up in language, say very similar things to what Scott just said.
People are very nice people, but trying to talk to Mayor Mamdani is like trying to talk to the IRGC, okay? This guy is a terrorist. That's the bottom line. I'll say it. You don't want to say it. I'll say it. He's a terrorist. He's a jihadist. He hates the Jewish people. He hates America. He hates the Italian people. He hates the Irish people. He hates the German people. Unless you're Muslim, Mayor Mamdani has no use for you. He is a horrible person and maybe has perpetrated the worst American and Jewish hate in the history of this country. Those two people stabbed the other day in the Upper West Side of New York City, that blood is on his hands. That blood is on your hands, Mayor Mamdani. We got to find a way to get this guy out of here. Maybe Dr. Naomi Wolf is right. Maybe that election wasn't what it looked like on paper. Maybe he really didn't win. But either way, this guy is the worst thing to happen to New York politics, maybe in the history of our state. He's a lowlife.
I mean, I think you may be a bit over your skis in calling him, labeling him a terrorist, and you're probably going to get flagged for
that.
Let me ask you this. New Yorkers elected this guy.
Who cares?
They knew everything about him before. Like, this is predictable. You talked about predictability. This is a predictable.
Griff, let me ask you this. The Hamas guys that are in Qatar right now, they've never put on an explosive vest. They've never shot anybody. Would you consider those guys terrorists? Because I would. Okay, so his ideologies are in line with the terrorists. Mahmoud Khalil is a campus terrorist. You don't have to kill somebody to be a terrorist. You have to share the ideology. That's what this guy is. He's no better than the person who actually goes and shoots somebody because he respects that person. He likes that person. That makes him one of them.
It's just remarkable that...
That's what's remarkable is the guy is the sitting mayor of New York City.
Was the guy with him, was that Kilmeade?
It might have been, because it was a Fox clip.
Sounded like him, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, oh, you're going too far. It's, but really, you're not. Don't, you know, stop. Who cares that they elected him? It doesn't mean anything.
I'm really sick of that phrase, over your skis. I'm sick of it.
I just came out and I'm already sick of it.
Huh?
Yeah, I haven't heard it too much yet, but yeah,
it bugs me. Yeah.
There's a few things like, well, it's very much like at the end of the day.
Oh, that's been, yeah, forever.
Like, when did that start? Why not just say when it all comes down to it, when all is said and done? What is, well, at the end of the day.
I mean, if you want to be precise, say at midnight or 11:59. Yeah.
But does your day really end at midnight? No, you might be up till 2 in the morning. So what does your day end?
There was a time when it didn't end until about 5 a.m.
Right. That's when the fun stuff was happening.
Yeah.
Now you're like, I'd like to be in bed by 9:30. That would be...
Oh, it's way too late. 8:15 is good. Yeah.
Well, what time are you getting up then? I mean, like 4 or...
No, I sleep for 15 hours.
That's it. That's the way to regenerate...
That's right.
You know,
don't need OHGH.
Right. It's like, I gotta get my beauty rest, gotta get in here and gotta be recharged. Yeah. Like, there's nothing good happens out after, you know, what do they say, like midnight or 2 a.m. It's getting, the older you get, the earlier it becomes.
Yeah. Well, the axiom used to be back in the day that as far as like going out, roust around and meet some women and stuff. People say, well, nothing good happens after one. And that was kind of true because, you know, the ladies that were still on patrol by 1 a.m. were usually the B or the C team.
The quality level was gay. We're the B team.
Yeah, this is a mistake. Yeah, this is a mistake.
We're the B team. What do you mean?
What are you talking about? As of Thursday, we're the A team, aren't we? Yes, we are.
That is true. I mean, all of the jokes that had been told over the last couple of years. It's just, it's very, very bizarre that it turned from not joke into reality. Mm-hmm. Darren and Larry, of course, who else? But then again, that was our evil plan, right? There was some kind of a subconscious thing that we launched.
When I found out it's a 5-year anniversary, it's very Maoist. I gotta check myself. I hope I'm not wearing like a Mandarin cowl or one of those little linen caps. It's kind of scary.
I mean, the reality is, it seems like over the last 5 years, we've mainly been doing the show for Mark Kodra and for Eric PP is always around and Bemrose likes to listen and the Reverend Doc. Yes. You know, we got those folks in the troll room and Adam Curry. He listens to the show.
See, I wasn't aware of that. I'm very happy about that.
And he's like, that's why he calls you Larry Blightner. It's kind of like the...
Well, I almost never use my last name, so I can't fault him for that. He's probably never heard it.
And it is spelled weird.
Dame Jennifer says it. She says it correctly. Yeah.
Well, and it's very well.
Very well.
But it's part of like the shtick of...
Maybe that's the Dutch pronunciation. It's okay. I don't care.
Could be.
It's nice to hear him say my name.
He's like, just a couple of Irish guys that are...
Yeah.
Irish guys angry, man. Who knew that was a thing? Yeah.
I never heard of that. You're crazy.
There's supposed to be something in the DNA. Where do you want to go?
Let's do. This is an interesting. It's a story that was piping hot a couple days ago, but I think it's still got a little warmth left in it. And that is the lefty on Trump's misogynistic comments about Caitlin Collins. I have some thoughts on this. You might like, Darren.
I thought the comment about Caitlin Collins, who he clearly has a thing with, I don't know. She got presented an award and he talked about her in ways that I thought were so misogynistic and nasty that if I were in the room, I would have been incredibly uncomfortable. And I guess it's worth playing so that people know what we're talking about.
I want to personally congratulate CNN's Caitlin Collins on receiving her award. It was all about me. It's a fake. She shouldn't get the award. It was a fake, but I didn't mind. I said, Caitlin, congratulations. But it was fake. There's no question about it. But she's a young, attractive woman. She never smiles. I said, Caitlin, do you have a smile?
Jesus.
Smile. You have a nice position. You're at CNN fake news. You should be a happy person. So smile, Caitlin. Just smile. But we attack. And I thought Caitlin had really made it big with a major new sponsorship, but then I informed her that it wasn't her on the Bud Light can, it was Dylan Mulvaney.
What's disturbing is that so many people in the MAGA sphere are like, right on, stick it to him. This is great. He's going into the lion's den and he's just, you know, mocking them and launching bombs on them and all. And like they kind of eat it up, right? They find the insult, they find the misogyny, they find the anti-LGBT stuff great. And I look at it and it makes my skin crawl.
Well, that's because you're a moron.
Yeah, but you know what I thought, and there was quite a furor, really, a big furor over this a few days ago. And when I heard it, I thought something's wrong with this. Because first of all, Trump did say she was an attractive woman, you know, nice woman, but working for a fake company. But he did compliment her appearance, right? And she's not an ugly chick. You know, she's not my type. I think John and Adam found a problem because she was her lips are rather, you know, not as full as they might be, but hey, what, nobody's perfect, you know. But then when they took the road of, because of the comparison to the trans performer Dylan Mulvaney, when Trump compared the two, suddenly that was misogynistic. Well, how can that be? If you are all in for trans rights, how is calling that misogynistic? Okay, because that in their minds, Dylan is a chick. That's a right? woman. And probably, who knows, maybe might have a baby or has ovaries or something. Okay, so where do you get off? What they did was insult the entire trans community with that statement.
Well, it's probably misogynistic to even make any comment about a woman's appearance because, you know, bad.
Oh, I don't know.
It's insanity. But yeah. And I didn't pay any attention to the White House correspondence dinner. This, of course, rescheduled from the last time when there was an assassination attempt.
Yes.
O'Reilly covered it, which is where I'm getting my understanding, which is everybody that got an award was for some bullshit anti-Trump piece, including mm-hmm. ones that have been debunked as far as not being true. So,
wow, of course.
It's hilarious. And it's like, well, of course, if he's going to shoot back, that's the whole point of this. It's kind of like yeah. a roast. This is what they do.
Exactly.
If we all fucking remember Barack fucking Obama, when he did one of these things and Trump was in the audience, it's like, well, I can say I'm something that Trump will never be. And that's president.
Yeah.
Yeah, that turned out to be wrong, Bayrock.
Indeed.
But this is what they do. It's like you take the snipes. It's not, you know, this, yeah. if you're going to consider this to be the worst thing Trump said, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
I hear he did pull out a hat and say he's running again and had Trump 2028, which I think is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Which will just feed more and more of these people yeah. to tell you like, oh no, see, he's insane. Let Larry. He's insane. He's got dementia. He thinks he can run again. Like, oh my God. I guarantee you there's been more hours spent on this on the mainstream media than you would believe.
Yeah.
Because they're nuts.
They are nuts. They're absolutely nuts.
And what else do we got here? I mean, it's a little bit of a shortened show today.
Yeah.
Because we got much time.
I got a little something here I don't have a clip to go along with it. It's kind of, you know, it was a text thing, a story I saw that I found was interesting. And I thought you'd get a kick. I think there's a, and I might be late to this party, but it seems like there's a growing backlash against influencers. I think people are kind of getting fed up with influencers, right? So one of them, some chick, she's married to a tennis guy. I don't know. I don't follow tennis. I don't think this guy was like a world champion or anything. But she's an influencer. Her name is Paige Paul, right? And the headline was something like, the socialite wife of a tennis star launched a blistering attack on a local Nantucket business after she spotted a, quote, no influencers, unquote, sign hanging inside.
How dare they?
Now let me tell you about this store, because they are endemic. They're everywhere on the Connecticut shore. And what the sign should have said was not no influencers, but no dudes. Because my wife has dragged me into a couple of these places over the years. And first thing I want to do is blow my head off. It's just Really. I mean, it's insufferable. It's just crap like, what are they, like a friendship baskets and little seagull things and just all this silly, useless shit that's going to wind up, you know, in the Goodwill box within a couple of years. It's really stupid. It's like home goods junk with a 400% markup, you know, seashell lamps, and it's just horrible. So this chick is married to some guy named Tommy Paul. And so she clipped this thing and then had this to say. She said, if you call yourself a feminist but proudly put up a no influencer sign, it's worth asking who are you attempting to delegitimize and why? Mocking women when they become powerful in a new industry isn't new. It's just a strange message coming from a store that celebrates a craft with such a rich history of women shaping the island and its economy. Right. Lastly, she finishes with, for those who don't know, the creator economy is overwhelmingly driven by women. Brands have shifted billions of dollars into creator marketing because it consistently delivers something traditional advertising can't: trust, community, and measurable sales. Right. And so as I'm reading this shit, I swear to God, I thought there's something AI-esque about her prose, and sure as shit, about 10 of the commenters said, hey, lady, you know, write your own material. This is obviously AI. I'm hoping this is, if not already, that maybe it's the opening salvo of a war on influencers. Because what does it say about somebody's intellect if they say, I bought this and fill in a piece of crap in a blank because the influencer said I should?
Yes.
You know, I mean, really, at least Madison Avenue used to have commercials that were fucking brilliant. You know, they had wit and charm and they made you think and made you laugh. It wasn't just in your face, buy this because I think it's cool. Who gives a shit?
Well, and there are different types of influencers, and it's a term that has now become just completely a general thing, which I don't agree with. Now, all of the hot chicks who are just modeling clothes as an influencer, yes, they have zero credibility as far as if a product's good or not. They're just getting a cut on everything that gets sold off of their post.
Yes.
Now, there are influencers like Linus from the Linus Tech Tips, which is all these. There are tech guys that are professionals that know what they're talking about, that review products, who I think you could call them, people are certainly calling them influencers, but they have credibility in where they are. And it's like, you have to know who you're taking your advice from. I mean, when I enjoyed doing Amazon reviews, it's like, it really got down to, I just wanted to do audio gear, microphones, headphones, because I know audio gear and I think I can bring something to that. At least I did back in the day when Amazon reviews and those kind of things were fun. But I learned even back then, before they shut everything down, and I get why they shut everything down, but I think they did everybody a disservice, because I would see people that were just on the top reviewer list using the same fucking review for, let's say, a condenser microphone that they did for a dynamic microphone weeks earlier. Oh, I mean, it was cut and paste.
Wow. So that's bad.
They were getting the box, obviously listing the stuff, I'm guessing, on eBay and throwing up a review so they could fulfill their, I'm going to give you a 5-star review. Most of those people gave all 100% 5-star reviews as well.
Yeah.
And I get it. There may be better people for tech tips. The Reverend Dr. Pfeiffer. I was just making an example. Everybody has their favorite. That's the beauty of the whole thing. But these if you're an influencer just because you are pretty, then enjoy the photos. But why would you ever listen to, you want to take these vitamins? They're great.
Well, I have an actual clip here from an influencer who would never admit that, because I think is Meghan Markle still like a princess or something? Yeah. Or were they excommunicated from the royalty?
Well, yeah, there was that. So, I mean, she married a prince, but I don't think she's legally considered a princess at this point. I think they were, although there was something lately that there was a coming back together of William and Prince, now King Charles, but Yeah. I am not a big watcher of the British royal family.
Yeah. Well, I'm not either. But I saw this headline above this clip, and it was Meghan Markle reveals what she tells her children if they want dessert. So I had to click on this, and here it is.
And I will play that clip, as I will admit No Agenda Millennial is outing me in the troll room, noagenda.stream, that I only got my spot on the No Agenda stream because I was pretty. That's true. It's 100% factual. Yes. I am as pretty as a pretty, pretty princess. Thank you, Nam, for noticing.
There you go.
The kids jump in a lot, especially with the garden. I think it's such a nice luxury to be able to have so much space and things to cook. And if they say, Mama, can I have dessert? You say, if you can pick it, you can have it.
So you can't pick chocolate.
No, you can't pick chocolate, which is great. So you can go pick a nice piece of fruit or whatnot. But no, we always have a nice, as my husband would say, pud after dinner. But I think what's really sweet is that they all chip in. Family time, I think, is really key to connect through food. So as many meals as we can do together, we always do.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. So how do the clip really should be, how do you tell people I have vast fruit orchards without saying I have vast fruit orchards, right?
I'm just hoping dessert?
Go pick it.
Just hoping your kids don't pick their nose.
Exactly.
If you can pick it, you can have it for dessert.
Yeah. Not too much. I just love these people. Dig me, dig my stuff.
There is so much. And this, you know, I can't even necessarily blame her. This is the society that we have built up around social media. And it is just mind-boggling that there are so many people that still cannot resist the, hey, I'm sitting at a Chili's. Look at my fucking whatever they're having. I was going to say Blooming Onion, but then I realized that was Outback. So people would be like, that's not the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, taking a picture of their food and doing all that. I mean, it's insufferable.
It's insufferable.
The only people I'm giving the leeway to be able to record and do the whole photo video thing in a restaurant are the people doing food challenges. Like, I can eat this 45-pound burger in 13 minutes or less. That I'm cool with.
Yeah.
Because that's some great stuff on YouTube, especially from Beard Meets Food. I love watching that guy eat. You shouldn't. You should be like, wow, this is a complete waste of time. But he's funny, and it's sometimes just really amazing to see the big plate or however they're presenting what he has to eat. And like, he's not a really big guy. And his running shtick is now, after he eats whatever, like the other day it was, I think, like a 4-pound burger. I mean, the thing was held together by a sword. There was probably like 25 big patties of beef on this thing in like 20 minutes or whatever it was. And then when he's done with that, he orders dessert.
There you go. Well, there's a place, this guy needs to go there, but he won't, in Amarillo, called the Big Texan. And for many miles outside of Amarillo, you'll see the billboard saying, come and eat the 72-ounce steak and get it free.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a few of those that right off of Route 66. Maybe that's the place.
Yeah. And like very few people can actually do it. Yeah. It's right off 66.
Was this the place that they actually live stream it all the time, that they like do it up on a stage? And
could be, it might be, but you know, and they have little placards of like, maybe a half dozen people that have done this. But the gimmick is this. I mean, could I I don't know if I could kill a 72-pound steak, but I know guys who could, that's for sure. It doesn't sound impossible. But what they don't say, and maybe it's in the fine print, but what they don't say is you have to eat all the trimmings. Right. And there's like baked potatoes the size of footballs.
Right, with the 72-ounce steak.
Yeah, entire heads of broccoli. And it's insane, you know. And so there was one guy, he did it so well because he went there. He ate a little bit more than half. And he said, you know, I got to go tinkle. Is that all right? Yeah, I should go take a leak. He goes in the men's room and cues his twin brother, who is dressed exactly the same, go out and finish that meal.
Now that is thinking.
That's thinking, baby.
Yeah. You got to be able to sneak in and wear like your sunglasses and then be able to change the outfit.
Yes.
Some people will go a long way for a free meal.
Free meal. You know? He's probably a victim of those poverty crimes that Tommy was talking about. Yeah.
And, you know, he did a great thing because people were entertained by it. So come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Now you've got one last year with My Gender Dolls. What is my that?
Well, this was this is an interesting piece. It's about Tampon Timmy State. I think they've contributed. I don't recall. It was either 1.4 or 14 million. Either way, it was too much money to this school that is pioneering having My Gender Dolls, which are paper dolls. Even if it's only 1.4 million, that's a lot of money for goddamn paper dolls.
Yeah, it is.
That have a removable and I guess switchable genitalia. Yeah. And these things are being handed out to kids as young as 4 years old. So you can listen to this clip and then I get a couple of comments about it and I'll kick in the head.
Transgender dolls that will reportedly debut this fall in Minnesota classrooms to kids as young as 4. They even include removable genitals. My Gender Dolls was launched by two professors at the University of Minnesota Medical School, which reportedly began as a research project at the taxpayer-funded university. The Big Weekend Show reached out to the university and My Gender Dolls for comment, but we have not heard back. I wonder why, Tommy. This is not your father's Hasbro, is it?
No, this is not. This is not the Mr. Potato Head that us millennials grew up with. Certainly a different flavor there. This is bizarre. This is upsetting. I don't understand. You know, I thought that there was a time of reckoning after 2024 when the left and some of these types that are pushing this realized this isn't popular with your everyday American. It's just not. We don't want our kids playing with, you know, movable gender dolls. We just want them to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. That's a big enough problem, right? But no, they're back. Woke never left. Woke just simply went on a hiatus, and it's full bore now.
Hold on 1 second. Before you comment on that, Larry, I'm just ordering a 1,000 Mrs. Potato Head dolls with strap-ons and removable breasts from China. It's our exit strategy.
There it is.
What the hell is going on? This is for school kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So here's something that I read about, and you know, you dig deeper, there's more to the story. And this is what it said. It said Tim Walz, who's pushed transgender policies in his state, was bestowed the Institute's inaugural Distinguished Sexual and Gender Health Champion Award in 2023, a title created just for him. The scandal-plagued governor was even pictured with a wide grin alongside medical school associate professor, ready for this, Nick Ryder, that's Nick No K, Nick Ryder, co-founder of My Gender Dolls, which is bringing the radical dolls to market. Okay. Now, I'm going to back away from this for a second and say, I saw this picture of Timmy with Nick Ryder. Do you recall the character way back in SNL called Pat?
Yeah, androgynous Pat.
Pat. Nick is Pat, you know, come to life, you know, which I'll just say this, you know, it's like Dylan Mulvaney. You're a dude who wants to be a chick and you look like a chick. You did a good job. I applaud that. And it probably makes you very happy and maybe some other people. Great. As I always like to say, you be you. Dylan, you know, you did what you wanted to do and you're doing a pretty good job of it. I don't get the Nick thing. Like, cause which is it? Well, I guess someplace in between. So there's more to this. Ryder, a psychologist who specializes in children and teen transgendered health, goes by they, them pronouns, according to a bio on the school's medical website. Now, here's the money quote, Darren. When pressed on how much taxpayer money went to research and development of the dolls and to the salaries of the professors involved in the project, the university refused to answer, telling the Post instead to file a Freedom of Information request.
But wait, was it a public school?
Yeah, I guess it's a state-funded school.
Because so they're going to have to tell them anyway.
Yeah, but do you know how hard it is? It costs money and time to file a FOIA request. It's not like, you know, three clicks with a mouse.
Well,
it's
kind of it all depends where. Because village here, my wife is one of them that has to look this stuff up. And it's like, if you really want to, like, fuck with your local government,
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. You can just fill FOIA requests until all their employees have nothing to do but fill your request.
And I can guarantee you that one of Nick Ryder's favorite words is transparency.
It's true, but I'm not going to tell you.
When it comes to my salary and what I'm getting paid, fuck you. I'm not transparent then.
But you're going to have to divulge it anyway, which is even funnier.
It is.
You know, it's just,
yeah,
it's sad, but that is the world that you live in today.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So true.
It's like, this is it. I mean, these are the people. Really, do you want these people in charge of anything that have to do with your children? And when you're seeing like this is going into schools, it's like, do the parents and these districts sign off on this? That we want to give our kids trans dolls?
Mm-hmm.
We want to teach them that your genitals can come off. It's like, no, they really,
no,
that's not the way it really works.
Can't. No.
Ah, that's why you tune into Planet Rage for exactly that kind of content.
Yes.
We are a value for value show. Sometimes you laugh, you cry, you're better. It's better than cats, no doubt about it.
No doubt.
If you want to support this show, it's easy. You go over to planetrage.show/donate. All of the information is there, from a PayPal button to crypto addresses, P.O. boxes, all the stuff we've learned from No Agenda. We know how to do it. It's the value for value segment. What did you get out of this show? Did you laugh? Did you cry? Maybe. Did you learn something? Every show, I guarantee you, Sir Ryan Bemrose learns something when he listens to Planet Rage. And you just put the number on it and you send it back to us. Time, talent, and treasure. I got to practice time, talent, and treasure.
Three T's.
Because we get the treasure here on Planet Rage, but in a very little. I mean, people don't make art because they're like, oh, this guy's never. He makes all the artwork. I'm like, I get to, Larry. We get to judge the artist tomorrow.
Wow, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I forgot about that. That's going to be fun. I like that.
We get to, so nobody will do art. It'll be a protest. Like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who are those two guys? Especially that Larry guy. What does he know about art?
That's right. Oh, it's got to be pointy chick. Scaramanga's like, holy shit, Larry's judging.
you're so right.
He's going to spit out hot chick artwork until his computer's like smoking.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of the whole thing. But we do have some people to thank for today's show, including Sir Grease Monkey, who came in with $231. And that, of course, is a show donation, which are, see, now if this was a professional show, I would have remembered that this was a show donation and I would have had the jingle loaded.
Oh, you know what? I'll just hum T for Two for a bit while you dig it up. How's that?
That is, let's see, show number donation.
It's a show number donation. Oh, what a sensation. It's a show number.
Everybody loves the AI.
That's great.
Thank you for your support.
And,
and what was that gentleman's name again?
Sir Grease Monkey.
Sir Grease Monkey. Thank you very much.
He says, evening, gents. Don't feel obligated to read any of this on the show, but here's the thing. I need practice reading notes on the show, I think. Because, I mean, I can only imagine what I am about to have to do tomorrow. Reading in a guy with one bad eye. Larry.
You can do it.
Larry's going to be reading a lot of notes.
You'll be doing the monaural version. I'll do the stereo shit.
Exactly. He says, I wasn't overboard, but got behind. I'm on 222, but almost home from Houston, so won't get to 223 until tomorrow. And he says he's 5 episodes closer to being caught up thanks to having to drive to Houston and back to Odessa for a corporate meeting. And it was nice having Larry's dulcet tones rumbling out of the speakers again. Yeah, hey, what about my voice, Sir Grease Monkey? Don't I have dulcet tones? I mean, come on.
Well, you're pretty. You said you were pretty.
Right, this is before. Right.
Just bask in that glow.
I'm pretty. Larry's got the voice. It all works out. He's like, this should put me at around $800, and I'll do another show number for the next show so I can become an official scumbag cultist.
Man, I'm loving this. Thank you, Sir Grease Monkey. Very
that
cool.
Is appreciated. Sir Grease Monkey, Baron of the Permian Basin, which, of course, West Texas, dirty-handed oil money.
Yeah,
that's, which I somehow like blanked on when the last time he came in. I'm like, where was the Permian Basin? I'm like, I know I've heard of it. I'm like, oh, Landman.
Yeah, Yeah, maybe he sounds like Billy Bob or something. He's like a dude like that. That'd be cool. I'm on a show.
It's the really take no shit kind of attitude.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Thank you, Sir Grease Monkey. It is very much appreciated. Let's let AI do the reading, says Tom Tomsky. I thought about but here's the thing with AI, and because you get the notes beforehand, and it would be very easy to text to speech them. I've already gone through this in my brain, and I'm like, you know what? That is doing a disservice to anybody that donates enough to have their note read, that it has to be a live person to do the read. You can't just throw it into an AI.
No, that would be so, I think it'd be a word I despise, but it's true, disrespectful.
Yes, it would be actionable.
Yeah.
Then coming in next, our buddy Rhett, Loretta Vandenberg. Oh,
Rhett, long time, Rhett. How are you, darling? Nice to hear from you.
She came in with 188.88, obviously a John C. Dvorak donation.
Oh, thank you, Rhett.
She says, while I am heartbroken over losing JCD, I had to laugh at the title of your last show.
See, it worked.
I think JCD would have too. No, he sent like torrential fucking rains to my house. He liked tornadoes. It that much. She says, I can hear him explaining exactly how much he was not wrong. Love you both. Mean it, Rhett. Well, right back at you, Rhett. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then Viscount John, $50, also a JCD donation, saying, hello, guys. There is something funny, wrong, and just fucked up, yet awesome, that the final show that JCD could have listened to was entitled John C. Dvorak is Wrong. Of course, he would respond,
go fuck yourself.
Which I do not disagree with.
That's great.
I think that's exactly the response. Yeah. That we would have gotten. And he says, keep the show going, Viscount John. It is very much appreciated. And obviously, John and Adam were the guys that we kind of looked to pattern this show over. And
yes.
Just sometimes you hear John's voice in your head and sometimes you hear Adam.
It's all the time, really, both of them. I need a psychosis, really.
If there's strippers involved. I need an
SSRI.
Right. But if there's strippers involved, it's always John's voice. That's the, that's where you go with that.
That's true.
Coming in with $20, JH, who has a monthly donation, we thank him. Or her. I mean, it could be either way, really. I mean, he's anonymous.
How sexist of you. You're misogynist.
I could be misgendering again. That's horrible. I don't know if he wants to keep saying he. I don't know if it's a they, them, or a he, she, or a she, he. It could be anything. That's the beauty of anonymous.
Whatever it is, JH, we're very grateful.
Our buddy No Beret came in with $10 saying, hey there, you people. Darren, did you ever think to tell your Soviet buddy, that would be Gene over on Unrelenting, to just talk like Larry and he won't have to bother with expensive microphones? You're welcome. I'm here for solutions, he says. No_beret@x.com. Boom.
Thank you, No Beret.
That's true. Well, I still can't believe, I have to ask Adam, that if the microphone that I've been seeing in his pictures are no longer the RE320 that you have, but it looks like a $50 microphone. Unless it has his own innards in it, which is possible, but it looks just like a $50 broadcast microphone. If so, it's punching way above its weight.
Wow.
And Nick the Rat bought one. He sounded pretty good on it as well. So
cool.
It is the Curry One, says Pfeiffer. But is it really, or is it just a Chinese knockoff? We don't know.
I need to find details. Yes.
And then our buddy Mark Kodra, who of course came in with $333, as he does on each and every show. And let's just see here. I mean, normally we don't have this at our right at our fingertips here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, maybe I don't hear. I know it's here. Where is
either?
I know.
Uh oh.
Where is? Oh, here. No.
Come back, Darren. Whoa! The bell.
Karma. I know.
Yes, you do.
I had to find the bell. It had to be sent. It was in a nice wooden box. It was sent via FedEx. It had to be overnight.
That's cool.
You got to protect that bell.
You do.
And then our buddy Net Ned came in with $2.01 saying, hey, hey, Larry's worth $2 at least.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm like, I know what he's saying, though. He's putting me in at the penny. Oh. That came right in at the end of the last show. I'm like, thanks, Net-Ned.
Thank you, Net-Ned. And Mark Codra. Yes. Say that to Mark. Thank you, sir.
Then we had a boost from Anonymous 1600 Sats that just says, quote, no, I'm not, Darren, JCD from heaven, which...
That's a good one. I like that.
If there was a way to get messages through, JCD would figure it out. But yeah, I've never seen him send Satoshis, though. So I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
And our buddy Weirdo came in with 1,000 boost, and he was streaming along, and he said, a lady I know who is, in fact, an RN had her license revoked and was fined almost $40,000 because her email, which contained the RN abbreviation, was in her married name and her license was in her maiden name. And they called it impersonation. Sonny Hostein is not a federal prosecutor. She impersonated one to try to get her way. That's a crime.
You're right, Weirdo.
You're preaching to the choir, brother.
Yeah.
Then Donkey came in with 100 sats saying JCD is gone, heart crying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Donkey.
I'm hoping I got the overwhelming emotion wave out of the way at the end of the last rock and roll pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had at least 60 seconds more, but it just didn't work. And I also blame JCD for that.
Yeah.
I think that was his way of like, oh, you're going to play an ABBA song for me? Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Eric PP, he was streaming along and came in with a 3333 boost with no message. So thank you, Eric PP.
Thank you, Eric PP.
And, of course, the delimiter, we always put him last because for some reason he likes it. CSB, who says, Gene gave me over 1 hour interview about how to get rich quick off AI-generated music. Well, CSB, can I point out here that Gene has not made any money off of AI music, even though he tried? he is not getting rich. He is what we in America like to call a gaslighter. He says, but you can watch the interview on his YouTube channel, AI Arch Wizard, and congrats on taking over No Agenda RSS feed for 2 weeks. If you need anything, my AI changed clips, let me know. Topics. Yo, CSB. Well, thank you, CSB, and everybody for supporting this little show. And it was interesting to see the massive amounts coming in and people like, oh, John, the John C. Dvorak is wrong. So maybe there was something to that.
Maybe there was. Now you got to find out how many downloads there were and see if you were dead on with your prognostication there.
And then see how many downloads there are after tomorrow and Sunday. And the No Agenda newsletter did come out while we were doing this live. So it's official. It's out there. If you're not subscribed to that, do so.
Oh, boy.
The back end for No Agenda is still fully in place, and the Podfather has done so much to help us out, tried to be able to produce this show at least close to the level that he has for the last 19 years. Mm-hmm. So again, if there's any donations, questions, all that, it still goes to notes@noagendashow.net. And then you'll just hear me stumbling through in Larry's dulcet tones on any donation notes. Would tell a few friends. I told Larry we're going to be able to hear. It's going to be great at Sunday or Thursday or no?
Tomorrow.
I know. I'm trying to keep the dates all night. Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time. I'm like, somebody put a microphone out the window because you're going to hear all the people hitting stop on their MP3 players. Who are these guys?
Yeah.
But we are going to do our best to hoist the flag and make Adam and John proud with the No Agenda product. This is about the producers and the community. And we hope everybody can just take a little, a little breather, give Adam a break for a while. And and we're going to be like the teenage kids in a hot rod parents car. It's very Ferris Bueller. It's like, get the Ferrari, Larry. We're going out.
Yeah. I like that's a cool comparison. Yeah. I think that was cool. Ferris's chick was really hot too. Yeah, I liked her.
Oh yeah. Simone. Simone. Was that her name?
I don't remember her name, but she had it going on. Yeah.
He is very like, kind of French looking, but very.
Yeah. Right. She was kind of exotic. Yeah.
And I don't remember really seeing her much after that.
No, movie. And I don't know why. Another one was another exotic sidekick chick was Tom Cruise's in Rain Man. And like, I thought after seeing that movie, I thought, well, hope to see more from her. Never did.
That's weird. Every now and then that happens. It's really weird.
Yeah, it is.
Well, so join us on the next Thursday, Sunday, No Agenda. Tomorrow, No Agenda. Then the next Thursday, and then the next Sunday, the next four.
Yes.
And then after that, we may be back to Planet Rage. You never know. Maybe people will love us so much, they will demand Adam never come back. I don't see that happening, but hey, we can dream, right? Until next time, I'm Darren, and he's Larry, and
yeah, we'll see you, kids.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun.
Yeah.
The U.S. strikes back, killing a member of the Islamic State.